In this episode of What the Prophets Say, we talk again, Emma Stark and Sam Robertson, about the prophetic movement. It is our mini-series. It's the concluding episode of our mini-series, and we are in the third breath of prophets who bring the kingdom of God. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of...
What the Prophets Say.
What the Prophets Say, with me, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson. I'm glad you're here, people of the world, and Sam. And it's a joy to have your ears, your hearts, your minds,
your attention,
as we are in our mini-series, Sam. This is episode four.
Of a mini-series, but episode however many of a many long series.
Yes. Episode four of our mini-series, exploring the development and the growth within the prophetic movement.
Yeah.
So, you just poured water all down your chest.
Oh, I tried to down it quickly before we started to record, and I think my mouth changed shape temporarily, and then it dribbled out one corner. So I felt slightly flustered, but I'm here with damp stubble, but it will dry as we release the word of the Lord.
Oh, man. And we've been talking about bed linen and the confusion in our house, because we have double beds, single beds,
king size
beds, and super king size beds in our house, because there's a lot of us. And the jumble of remembering whose bed linen and who is whose bed linen. Anyway, David and I, it seems like this now needs to be public, because during the pandemic, for reasons unknown to man, probably because everything was going on social media, we ordered a mattress and we filmed it and put it on socials.
You did. I don't know why.
I don't know why either. It seemed at the moment like a good idea. But the mattress company was called Emma. Do you remember?
Yes.
And so we had a lot of very inappropriate comments about the mattress called Emma.
Yep.
I will not unpack the direction of travel of those. I'm getting the class behind the glass. Our producing team are gratefully nodding that I am not going to unpack the inappropriateness of mattress Emma. Yep. Anyway, can I just say, it did not wear well. Now, it may not have been Emma Mattress's fault, in case I'm going to get done for libel and slander of a mattress company. We did move house a couple of times and it was awful. Anyway,
it
did not travel well, and it ended up like a pyramid.
Oh, no.
So I'd have to, you know, to hold David's hand, I'd have to reach up and over the pyramid in the middle of the bed.
Right.
So we thought we'd get another mattress. This is too much information, isn't it? Why am I doing this?
I don't know. It feels
like we need to have mattress development conversations. So we went in, bought mattress. As many springs. This is an education. How did they get that many springs into a mattress?
I have no idea.
Thousands.
Thousands upon thousands.
Hand stitched in.
Yes.
Well, what size can they be?
Micro.
Micro springs.
Yeah, they must be.
It's thousands. I'm looking at the size of my bed going, how are they getting thousands in there? It's like the TARDIS.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it arrived. I didn't think to check depth. It's like an extra deep.
Yeah.
I can barely get onto it. I need a trampoline to spring into my bed. And once I'm up there, because I'm scared of heights.
In your head, your mattress is like 14 foot, isn't it? How tall is your mattress?
What if I fall? What if I need to go to the bathroom during the night? How will I get down off the bed? And will I do myself an injury because it's extra deep?
It's not that tall, surely. I need to see this.
Well, when you guys arrive for dinner, you and Bella can have a look and see how ridiculous it is. Literally, we've already slept in it two or three nights. I had to take a running jump to it.
Right, okay. And David's fine.
He's just laughing at me like this is pathetic.
So extreme.
Well, it's because I'm short.
Yes.
And they think it's hilarious.
Yes.
Yes. But it genuinely is a run and jump. Anyway, do you think it would be wrong to buy a stepladder? Just a little step.
Yeah, you should. Like a stool.
Like a little, it's like one you get into a caravan on.
Because you do that often.
Never. To get in them out of my bed.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, the ongoing saga. So now we told them about the first. I'm going to need to pause and get a tissue. We told them about you keep talking about something useful. Keep the tape running for the tape. I'm going to run and find a tissue.
Well, Emma goes, we have been talking about the first breath, the first mattress, the second mattress, and that. No, the first breath, the second breath, and then the third breath. And we left you on a cliffhanger. You'll be thinking, what is the third breath? What is the third wave? Well, now, hopefully, we will help try and define it. But can we be honest? This is literally like hot off the press new for us. We haven't been exploring this idea for that long either. This revelation is genuinely very recent revelation.
I'm back.
So Emma is back. You have returned. Tissue in hand. So we are on to the third breath, Emma. And we've been talking first breath, personal words.
Yes.
Second breath, teeth. You get teeth.
Yes.
Nations, army. Third breath. This is where we come into Ezekiel 37. That's our key scripture. You're going to have to study that.
Yeah.
Verses 13 to 14. Now, let me read it, and then we will start our conversation about what the third breath, what we think and feel it might be and become. And this is what it says. Therefore, prophesy and say to them. So this is the third time that Ezekiel prophesies.
Yeah.
Third wave of prophecy. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them.
Woo-hoo.
I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When? When I open your graves and bring you up from them.
It's so strong. So here is Ezekiel. He's done the individual words to the bones. He's then commanded them to be an army. Now, oh, this is glorious, listeners. Hold on to your hats. He is talking about the resurrection from the dead.
Come on.
He is talking about prophesying a people into eternity and salvation and bridal readiness. He is moving from here is the boundary of the nation or here is the boundary of the individual into I am going to prophesy for harvest. I'm going to prophesy for bridal readiness. I'm going to prophesy you into eternity. And here is the difference. We move from the boundary of the individual to the boundary of the nation to the boundary of the kingdom. And now in the age of the kingdom, the prophets are dealing with the rule and the reign of the king and the coming of the kingdom and the need to join into the kingdom. The boundaries of nations are not the prime focus. So the political words take a back seat. If God asks us to bring them, we'll bring them, but they are back seat words in the same way that if God wants us to prophesy over an individual, we'll do it. But it's step one, step two is nation, step three is how can I bring the kingdom? It's revolutionary. It's disruptive. It's not always understood. In other words, I am interested that when you are dead, that you are raised for eternity to be a citizenship of the kingdom of God. And you are interested and you are motivated by the kingdom more than anything that is happening day to day in your nation. And you're only interested in what happens in your nation through the vehicle of the kingdom.
Is massive. You understand that you belong to another realm, that you're anchored in another realm, that you're in the flow and the sway of a kingdom society, and you prophesy from that realm. You prophesy from the kingdom of God into the earth. So in the first breath, prophecy is mainly welcomed, appreciated, valued as an additional add-on. When it's in the second breath, it's needed, it's essential. At times it becomes a threat because there's correction and direction. But in the third breath, prophets, because they understand the kingdom of God. Prophecy is revolutionary. It's disruptive for the kingdom of God. It's not always understood or necessarily welcomed, but it's essential in securing the eternal destiny. So not the destiny of here and now, but the eternal destiny of peoples. And it's where you understand then, you know, that shaking for instance, we're in a season of shaking, is necessary sometimes for harvest.
Yeah.
That in seasons of war and of chaos, the prophet knows how to seed bridal readiness and to secure the salvation of many. But here's what I think the massive thing is. In the first breath, it's all about personal readiness. Mm-hmm. It's all about personal comfort and encouragement. Mm-hmm. In the second, it's teeth. There's an authority.
Yep.
In the third, there's this commanding place
of
speaking and commanding peoples, not nations, mm-hmm. peoples, generations, into the arms of Jesus. And so you might think, well, didn't we understand harvest in the previous ones? I would say that in the first and second breath, they were all about evangelism, which is right.
Yes.
But in the third breath, we understand that we can command harvest, mm-hmm. mass harvest, mass salvation.
I've been practicing a little within these waters, having come to this revelation as I traveled the nations. And I find that the level of the word I'm able to bring is completely different. And I'm standing on the shores of nations and I am securing the eternal destiny of the peoples by understanding that I can.
Yeah.
So it's probably worth giving an example. Let me turn in my notebook, because an example, as you saw, I was in Denmark, as you know, and this sense of the Lord saying over that, you'll hear the feel of it. The Lord saying that he's making Copenhagen, obviously the capital of Denmark, a city of angelic activity. There was a real mercy of God.
Wow.
That there was going to be a descending of the angels into that place.
Come on.
And that there was a preparation of days for shifting of the ruling spirits in Copenhagen. And that as a sign of the shifting in rulership, they had a change of monarch in the natural as a sign of a change of rulership in the spiritual.
Wow.
And then the Lord said this to me. He said, I will bless the Danish football team. And in the Euro Championship, Soccer Championship 2024, there will be a sign of my presence coming to Copenhagen, and it will spill out onto the soccer team, and they will do exceptionally well within that competition, and there will be footballer salvations.
Wow.
And so here we are, and I'm thinking about nations, but somewhere in there, I'm thinking about the extension of the kingdom. I'm thinking about the kingdom coming. I'm thinking about the harvest. This is what I'm asking God different questions.
Wow.
How do I secure their future? How do you want the kingdom to come? What are the signs going to be of the kingdom coming in this? So my questions are not just, what are you excited about in the nation, which I have asked for years.
Yeah.
I am now asking, how does your kingdom come in this city?
Come on.
And what are your words, God, that I can prophesy that establish your kingdom in this place? It happened to be that for Copenhagen. It is a massive shift of kingdom focus. And so I think we can say, breath one, we're individually minded. Breath two, we're group or nation minded. Breath three, we are kingdom minded. God, how does your kingdom think? God, how does your kingdom expand? How do I bring the kingdom? How do I speak the kingdom?
Yeah.
How do I bring the redemption that is part of the kingdom? Now, there's still correction and direction.
Absolutely.
And timings in that.
But it's within the context of the kingdom, not of correcting in terms of politics or nation boundaries.
Yes. So in some senses, political parties, backseat.
Anything really created in terms of leadership is a backseat.
It's a backseat.
It is.
And you prophesy from being in God.
Yeah. Come on.
What does the kingdom want to see happen?
Mm.
And you are totally obsessed with the kingdom and its extension at this level.
Mm.
So you're not manipulating the nation to comfort you or to back you. You're revolutionary asking the kingdom to invade.
Come on.
Very different. Very, very different. I actually think that a lot of prophets will struggle.
Yeah, I do too.
I think we're wrestling ourselves with how do I come to a place where I'm in God, where I'm encountering him in Mount Zion, where I'm only prophesying from his, because our tendency is, God, can you just, God, could you sort of just bless my nation? Can you sort of just give us the leaders we want? Is the tendency. And here God is saying, my kingdom's going to do something very different.
Yeah, absolutely. My kingdom's subversive. My kingdom's expanding in a different sort of way outside your boundaries.
It is going to require an extremeness to come to the prophet.
It is.
Which means that it's going to be uncomfortable and you're not always going to be celebrated because you're not just blessing the nation or blessing the status quo.
I mean, this understanding of the kingdom of God is now essential.
Yes.
But not just the understanding, but the absolute conviction that you are an alien, a foreigner who, in this earth, who is anchored in the kingdom of God. And you are not of this world in the way you were pre-Christ, pre your salvation. And part of your salvation is you are now new creation in Christ, in God. And so that whole understanding has to wash your inner world. And I'm Scottish, as you can tell, and the Scots are, they love being Scottish. Scottish people really love being Scottish. It is like our favourite thing to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, you always joke about if you're on holiday with your family, it will take you 30 seconds to find the only other Scottish person on the entire island, because it's what it is. But this whole idea that, yes, that's brilliant, but it's so secondary and so far behind the fact that I am a citizen of a kingdom society. And it's only then I think that you are able to bravely prophesy the words that do sound controversial or do sound, oh my goodness, that doesn't feel like it fits the sway of where things have been going.
See, if I say to you, Sam, does God want you to pray for Scotland? The answer is
yes.
Yes, God wants me to pray for my nation. Undeniably, God loves nations.
Absolutely.
God creates and sets in time the boundaries of nations. We pray for our nations. What do we pray for our nations is the greater question.
Absolutely.
So now we're in the Lord's Prayer as instructed by Jesus. And what Jesus tells us there in how we pray is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the emphasis is not, absolutely not, God bless my nation.
Yeah.
And here we are in the second breath saying, God bless Scotland, God bless Ireland, God bless Europe, God bless America, God bless, put your nation in that place. That is not what Scripture teaches us to pray. Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come in the nations of the earth. That is very different from God bless my nation. Very different. That God bless my nation is a do something good, do something comforting, do something elevating, do something nice, do something sweet, do something loving. And yet the Lord's Prayer is, thy kingdom come in my nation. That's a revolutionary other thought.
It totally is.
And so here we are with prophets who think kingdom, prophesy kingdom, who love nations and pray for nations, but it's a very different feel.
That is a very different feel.
And I think it's going to be quite a challenging step.
Oh, Matt, I mean, we've only been journeying this since the turn of the year.
Yeah.
It presses every button, which is helpful. It should. And this is as much prayer as it is. We need sharpening conversations on this. And what does that really mean? And yes, the kingdom, but what do we really mean when we talk about the kingdom?
Yes.
And the need to be biblically literate in what the kingdom is and how the kingdom comes, so that our language is formed according to the kingdom of God is massive.
Can I say, for me, the one massive definition that must be understood in the kingdom versus empire is we view territory and land very differently.
Yeah.
And the kingdom expands in the territory of hearts first. The kingdom of God is about hearts.
Come on.
Every day of the week. Mm-hmm. Bridal readiness, eternal life, salvation, harvest. Now, when the heart is moved, it then trickles down, drizzles down, and has impact on what you own. But it doesn't start in land and territory. It starts in hearts, the territory of the hearts of men. And it is initially less interested in, you know, law and land. If the kingdom of God has your heart, it has your land.
Yep.
It has your law.
Yeah.
If you start with land and law, it may never get your heart.
Come on.
And that is massive. So therefore, when we're talking about kingdom prophets, we are after the hearts of men.
Come on.
And we are calling them stridently into holiness and connection with God and encounter and bridal readiness. And then by default, you have their heart, their laws, their land and their possessions.
Come on.
So we are coming up to deal with the sin in the hearts of men, the lack of holiness in the hearts of men. They get ready, and you are now reflecting most of the prophecy that you see in Scripture, which is stridently going after the motivation and the hearts of the children of Israel, usually, and not exclusively, but mostly in Scripture, it's prophecies to them where they're saying, you know, your hearts are not right. You're in love with idols. You've got idols that don't see and don't speak, and you've carved them for yourselves. And it's prophecy that is wooing the heart.
Yeah, come on.
That then acquires you the land.
Yeah.
And that is a massive shift, because we're all about, if I can change the party political, if I can own more territory, if I can change the law. And that is wrong understanding of the second breath. And now God's saying, go for the holiness and the bridal readiness that extends the kingdom, and think about shaking the people so I have their hearts, that I might have their possessions as well.
Wow.
That's the difference.
There you go. Third breath prophets.
Third breath prophets. Well, we bless you there's a lot to think about here.
Yeah, there is.
We bless you into this, our loyal listeners, as we journey together, and we pray for you in the name of Jesus that you may become the third wave, the third breath of prophets and revelators in the earth, that you may come up higher and bring the kingdom of God in everything you prophesy. I bless you into this in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call in the pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.